Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Arguably, this is the best Friday of the year in the NFL. You're down to four games. You're down to, theoretically, the eight best teams. Two on Saturday, two on Sunday, the divisional round of the playoffs. In fact, we're down to seven football games left in the NFL this year, which means you need to make sure that you're watching games on Saturday, Sunday, if only because once the Super Bowl ends, we had college football end on Monday night. Once the Super Bowl ends in about, about 21 days, you'll be sitting around staring at the wall for all of May, all of June, all of July, thinking, I can't wait for football to get back here. So you've got four big games going on, and I think all four of them could go in any possible direction because that's oftentimes what happens in the divisional round of the playoffs. So I asked you guys last night late, which NFL team is most likely to pull off the upset this weekend? You can go vote. It's at the very top of my tweets at Clay Travis. And over 20,000 of you have voted since I put out this tweet last night. I said, which NFL team is most likely to pull off the upset this weekend? The Colts, the Cowboys, the Chargers, or the Eagles? And you guys are voting right now, and I'll tell you what your results are, but I'll first tell you who I think is the most likely to pull off the upset. And I think the answer is the Chargers. I don't just think the Chargers are going to cover as a 4.5-point underdog in this game. I think they're going to win outright because I think the Patriots are just an okay team. And let me give you a couple of reasons why I think that's the case. The Patriots are 11-5 this year. As part of that 11-5, they have lost, obviously, five games. All five of those games have been to teams that did not make the playoffs. The Detroit Lions, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Tennessee Titans, the Miami Dolphins, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. All five of those teams sitting on the sideline when the season ended. In the history of the Brady-Belichick dynasty, the most games the Patriots have ever lost to non-playoff teams, three. The average number of losses over the last 20 years the Patriots have had to teams that did not make the playoffs during the Brady-Belichick dynasty, 1.8. This year's Patriots team is just not very good. And a big reason why they're not very good is Rob Gronkowski is a shell of his former self. The Chargers, almost wanted to say San Diego Chargers, I keep trying to catch myself. The Chargers have the best overall defense in the NFL against tight ends. That means if you look at the numbers, it's very unlikely that Rob Gronkowski is going to make any kind of plays at all down the field in the passing game for Tom Brady. The Chargers also have the best scoring defense since week five in the NFL. They have allowed the fewest points of anybody in the NFL. They're the only team right now that is both top 10 offensively and top 10 defensively overall in terms of total offense and total defense. I don't just think the Chargers are going to win. I think they're going to win by a touchdown or more, potentially. I think they are going to go on the road, and I think they are going to end the Brady-Belichick dynasty because I think once the Patriots lose this year, there are going to be a lot of questions to answer about the future of this team and where they are headed. And I think a lot of those questions are going to be difficult to answer. So my suggestion is of the four teams that are out there as we roll into the divisional round of the playoffs, I think the Chargers are the most likely to pull off the upset. I also think the Colts are the second most likely team to pull off the upset, because it wouldn't shock me at all if the Colts go on the road in Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. Now, it looks like there's going to be some weather conditions, maybe some snow that's going to hit during this game in Kansas City. I don't think that really matters in the grand scheme of things. If anything, I think that might even help the Colts, because I think the Colts with Marlon Mack have the superior running rushing offense, given the fact that that we already lost Kareem Hunt as a Kansas City Chief running back. They just haven't been able to put together the same caliber of rush attack ever since they lost Kareem Hunt. Meanwhile, the Colts have gotten better and better at the rush attack as the season has gone on. Marlon Mack's a legit threat, and I think the Colts will try to take a little bit of air out of this game by proving that they can run the ball and then relying on Andrew Luck on third down. So I think if both of these happen, and I think there's a decent chance that both the Colts and the Chargers pull off the upsets on the road this weekend, we could have a 25,000-seat AFC championship game that would be hosted by the LA Chargers in a soccer stadium. That would be wild to see. Maybe they would consider moving that game. So I think both of those are substantial likelihood of upsets. The Cowboys. I think the Cowboys have a decent chance of going on the road and getting an upset win also. I think that the Rams down the stretch have not been that reliable of a team. And their offense in particular has looked very mediocre against the Bears. I thought the offense looked very mediocre against the Eagles when they got whipped. And frankly, they weren't that good against the Lions. Now, they got a little bit healthy late by beating the Cardinals and the 49ers, but I'm not convinced that that is representative of the offense that we're going to see in the playoffs. Everybody out there wants to hire Sean McVay. Been talking about this all week. And it continues to be wild, because to me, back in the day when everybody wanted to hire Bill Belichick coaching disciples, at least the Patriots were winning virtually every year. They were in the middle of being a dynasty. Sean McVay is still only, I believe, 32 or 33, and he's never won a playoff game yet. So this idea that that he is the one that everybody needs to emulate is fascinating to me, because it's not yet justified by on-field results. Last year they lost at home, the Rams did, to the Falcons. This year it wouldn't shock me if the Cowboys went on the road, particularly because there's going to be a home field advantage for the Cowboys in L.A. There will be more Cowboy fans in the Coliseum than there will be Ram fans. I think the Cowboys, it would not shock me if they found a way to get this win either, and certainly I like them to cover. The only team that I feel like is going to win with ease this weekend at home is the New Orleans Saints, and I just love the Saints in this situation. I think they win by double digits. I think the Eagles finally... The rose loses its bloom on the Nick Foles era, and so that is the most likely outcome, I think, in that game, is that the Saints pull away and win by double digits. I love that Sean Payton brought in the Lombardi Trophy with over $200,000 in cash to let the guys know what they're playing for. If you only make $400,000 or $500,000 a year, which some of those guys do, that's a big get to add $200,000 to your overall income. Think about what it means for a lot of people out there right now if you suddenly got a 50% bonus at the end of your work year. So we'll see what happens. My predictions, I'm giving to you early. I think the Chargers win outright. I like the Colts to cover. It wouldn't shock me if they won outright. I like the Cowboys to cover. Wouldn't shock me either if they won outright. But I do think the Saints, as the substantial favorite, gets the win with ease. So, the poll question that is up right now that you guys have an opportunity to vote in, with nearly 21,000 votes cast: which NFL team is most likely to pull off the upset this weekend? The Outkick Nation out there believes that the answer is the Colts. 38% of you are voting that you believe the most likely NFL team to pull off an upset is the Colts. 30% of you all in on the LA Chargers. Then 20% of you like the Cowboys to pull off the upset. Just 12% of you like the Eagles to pull off the upset. In terms of lines, Vegas is telling us the Chargers are the most likely to pull off the upset, followed by the Colts. So those are my picks. Again, I'm on the Chargers, I'm on the Colts, I'm on the Cowboys, and I'm on the Saints. In that order, those are my picks as we head into the weekend.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Poll question for the day as we head into the divisional round playoffs in the NFL. Which NFL team is most likely to pull off the upset this weekend? 22,000 of you have voted already. Colts, Cowboys, Chargers, Eagles. Want to poll the crew? My prediction is the Chargers are the most likely to pull off the upset. What say you, Danny G?
Yeah, my head kind of tells me the Chargers too, but every time you've picked against the Patriots this season, New England seems to have had a huge win right after you've written them off. So I think you might have jinxed that one. So I'm going to stay with my Colts prediction of them staying on this hot streak. And a quick stat here for what it's worth. The Colts and Chiefs have met four times in the postseason, all since the mid-90s. KC has lost every time. And as we saw last weekend, in the playoffs, things slow down. It boils down a lot of times to your defense and your running game. And not having Kareem Hunt, I think, is going to hurt Kansas City this weekend. Sorry, Chiefs fans, but Darius Leonard and that Colts defense and Marlon Mack running the ball for the Colts, I think, could be the difference. I'm going to say the Colts by a field goal.
Which would be brutal to Chiefs fans who have not won a home playoff game since 1995. At the start of hour two, I'm going to run through that list of failure for the Chiefs. To have had that much all line up and not work in their direction is pretty unbelievable, honestly. When you look at history for it to have been that long since they won a home playoff game. Eddie Garcia, who you got? You watch a lot of the Chargers because your wife has season tickets. Are you with me? Do you think they have a good chance to pull off the upset on the road against the Patriots?
I'm with you in spirit, and I hope you are correct. But no, I am with the listeners, and I am with Danny G. I'm taking the Colts as well. The Chiefs rookie quarterback Andy Reid, losing record in the playoffs. I don't think the Chiefs, what is it, 0-6 in their last home playoff games. I don't think the Chiefs defense is that good. I think if the Colts go down and score an early touchdown, it'll suck the life out of that stadium, which doesn't make any sense that they're bad at home, because that seems like such a great postseason and playoff environment. Adam Vinatieri, I know he's not the best kicker in the league anymore, but in a clutch kick in the postseason, who would you rather have than that guy? Andrew Luck is steady. I'm going to go with the Colts.
What about you, Dub? Who you got?
My heart wants the Chargers, but I have to go Colts. I mean, Kareem Hunt, since his last game, they're 3-2, the Chiefs are, and two of those three wins are against the Raiders. And the third win needed some miracle work against the Ravens. I think the Colts are just rolling right now. I'm going with them.
What if the Chiefs, and I don't even know what the rule is on this, what if the Chiefs just re-signed Kareem Hunt? Like, what if they acknowledge, you know what, we're not anywhere near as good of a team. In our bye week, we sat around and we, you know, analyzed our rush attack. We realized the one thing we needed to do was be better with the football. We feel like Kareem Hunt has been punished enough, and so we're signing him back for the playoff run. What would the reaction be? Do you think most people would be like, I tend to think you could probably get away with it. Right? Like, if I'm the Chiefs, and I don't know why sometimes teams don't just do this, because I do think that you're right. There's a substantial difference on this offense without Kareem Hunt. They haven't really been able to replace his skill set. What if they just went back to the drawing board and said, you know what? We feel like he served his long enough suspension. I mean, I think Kareem Hunt could be signed by anybody, right? I don't know what the rule is. If somebody could look that up, it's actually a fascinating question. Like, let's say that Ezekiel Elliott got hurt for the Cowboys. Could they go sign Kareem, but they still found a way to win against the Rams, and they're in the NFC Championship game against, let's say, the Saints. Could they go sign Kareem Hunt to play in the playoffs?
Wouldn't he still have to serve some sort of penalty under the league rules?
I don't know, because I don't know what the league is doing right now. First of all, he's been out now. Has he missed five games?
Looking that up right now.
So theoretically, I'm just saying, like, if you go into the second round, let's say you're advancing to the AFC or the NFC Championship game, he would have then set out six games, which I think is the maximum penalty that you can get for a domestic violence incident, right? And I don't know. That would be my argument if I'm Kareem Hunt's people. I'm going to be like, yeah, he should be eligible to play week one of next season because he set out all these games already. Maybe he has to sit out one regular season game. But the NFL hasn't officially punished him. So I think he would be eligible to play. It would be a crazy move. Roberto, who you got?
I'm going with the Colts as well. The offensive line has been one of the best this year in the NFL. The Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton connection is back. And then Andy Reid in the playoffs is just awful. And that Chiefs defense is terrible as well.
We'll dive into that Chiefs history. They have not won since Joe Montana was their quarterback. We will dive into that. We'll also answer my hypothetical question. Could somebody just try and sign Kareem Hunt now? I don't know what the rule is. We haven't seen this arise very often, but I think certainly the Chiefs are missing him.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Let me bring in my guy Jeff Schwartz at Jeff Schwartz, G-E-O-F-F on Twitter. Played in the NFL for 8 years. Brother is on the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. We talked off the top of the hour two here about the Chiefs' playoff futility. 25 years of not being able to win a home playoff game. You played on the Chiefs. Now your brother plays on the Chiefs. Is this something that's talked about, or do you think most players even know it?
Well, it's probably talked about because the media asked them about it. I know, you know, Pat Mahomes has been asked about it. My brother was asked about it the other day on Twitter. You know, the players probably don't really care too much about it. It was only, you know, the last time that the Chiefs played the Colts, the infamous game that you cost us because
yeah,
you text messaged.
I text, for people who don't remember, when you guys were up like 20 points in that game, I texted you. I was watching that game. I remember I was out in L.A. doing television on Fox, and I texted you, congrats. This is awesome, watching that game. And then you guys ended up losing. And so you got back to your locker. Was I the only person who had tweeted you congrats?
I doubt it. I doubt it. There probably other people. We were up 28 points in the third quarter. There's only five guys left on that team. From that team, they're still playing. So even those guys don't really.
Yeah. So for people out there, it wasn't that crazy of an idea when I tweeted you congrats. You guys were up 28 points in the third quarter.
Correct. No, we had an epic collapse. The Colts had a little bit of luck in that game, but it is what it is. No, I don't think the players know this. I'll tell you what. Here's where this comes into play. I think tomorrow, especially tomorrow. Wow, it's already. It's more the fans, right? So the fans know the history, of course, and even go back to last year. I mean, Mariota catches a touchdown pass to himself, and when that happened, it made the score 21-10. And I thought to myself, oh, here we go again. And that's the feeling that's going to happen in the crowd. So the crowd's going to be fired up, of course. Number one seed at home against the Colts. And the first bad thing that happens, you're going to feel it in the crowd. Oh, God, here we go again. It's happening again. Second bad thing that happens. I mean, there's bound to be interception, a bad play on offense. You know, the defense gives up a long touchdown. There's going to be something bad happens. And every time that happens, the crowd is going to think to themselves, oh, here we go again. And you're going to, as players, you're going to feel that vibe. Now, you're not going to really react to that vibe, but you can tell, like, when the crowd starts to go, here we go again, right? He gets all tense and everything, and I think that's what it is. So it'd be great if the Chiefs were to come out and get a big lead, but that really hasn't shown to be much of anything for them because their defense is so bad. I mean, they're 14-0 on the Chargers, and that didn't matter, right? So that's the feeling, man. It's just like, oh, here we go again. I mean, they're against the spread. I don't know how you bet on the Chiefs this weekend. I mean, if you were betting this game, you have to bet on the Colts. Like, there's no precedent to bet on the Chiefs this weekend. They're 0-9 against the spread at home in the playoffs in their history. So I guess you can say, oh, they're due for one, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like trends are there for a reason. So it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a close game, I think.
How nervous are you watching this game when your brother's on the team?
It was bad. It's really bad. Last year, I was watching the game while on live radio. Last year, I was hosting a radio show while watching the game. Talk about it's an interesting thing. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Obviously, it's bigger as the playoffs go. I don't think he's won a playoff game. They might have won a couple years ago on the first round. I don't recall. So it's pretty nerve-wracking. I mean, I hope he gets there, right? Atlanta's a quick drive. I'd love to go to the Super Bowl and have him win that game, especially with the year he's had this year. It'd be a great cap to the year. Yeah, I mean, it sucks. I need to stay off Twitter, too, when I watch his games, but I don't.
So here's the question we were talking about earlier in the show, too. How much do you think the Chiefs, if at all, are impacted by not having Kareem Hunt now?
You know, I got this question yesterday, and I don't know. I mean, the run game has been fine without him. I think the thing they're missing, if I were to pinpoint one thing, I think Damian Williams, Spencer Ware, these guys don't break longer runs without help from linemen, right? So Kareem Hunt was able to just break through a lot of tackles and make guys miss. I don't think these guys are quite the same as far as breaking these long, explosive runs. I mean, that's, I think, what they miss. And, of course, Kareem Hunt was a dual threat guy, right? You could have him on a first down or third down. I think these guys are more rotating through the offense. But, you know, running the football has never been Andy Reid's thing. The Chiefs are not terribly good at running the football this year. I mean, they're about average, middle of the pack. You know, they're a pass-first offense. I'm not sure it's hurt them that much. And I know people will say, well, they don't score as many points now than they did. But they played the Ravens and the Chargers back-to-back weeks, who are top five defenses. So I'm not sure Kareem Hunt would have made a difference. They still scored 28 and 27. That's not bad. But I think that people have overblown that. I don't think they're missing him that much.
Do you buy into the impact of a team like – we discussed this on Lock It In, the television show on FS1 that I'm on, the gambling television show, the weather. You know, it might snow. The Colts are a dome team. They're outside. Yeah. You've played on some dome teams, I think, over the year. Do you buy into that being very impactful?
I think it is impactful. It's more just the cold. I think if you're a dome team, you're just not used to playing in the cold. And it can be shocking. And it's more about the preparation up to that week. So you know, you land in Kansas City, the Colts will get there today at some point. It's just cold, right? And you feel that cold. And you land there and you're just like, oh, it's cold outside. There's snow everywhere. And then, you know, it's cold in the hotel a little bit. It's cold when you're warming up. It's cold during the game. It's cold. It's not cold when you're actually playing if you're a player, but you're on the bench. It's kind of cold. And the snow is interesting. I talked to Ryan Leaf about this on the radio right before the Apple Cup. The Apple Cup, Washington State was in the snow on that Friday night. And I said, well, how's the snow going to affect Washington State's air raid? As Gardner mentioned, the quarterback. He's like, snow doesn't really affect a quarterback as much as people think. Because it's not really wet, right? Snow can be wet, but it's not. It's like wet is the problem. Wet and wind are the problem. So if it's just snowing, it's not very windy, it's not very wet, the quarterback should be fine. Now, Pat Mahomes has never done this before, so that might be an issue. But if it turns to rain or sleet and becomes very windy, that's where the problem is.
What about as you look forward, my favorite pick this weekend from a gambling perspective is I like the Chargers, and I think the Chargers might well win outright against the Patriots because I think the Chargers are just a better team. Like I think if you take away the mythology and the history of the Patriots and just look at this year's Chargers team against this year's Patriots team, I think the Chargers are better. Am I crazy?
Oh, no, you're right here, but I don't think you can take out the mythology of the Chargers. Just like the Chiefs, you can't take out the fact that they have not been good in home playoff games. And that's part of this, right? So even go back to last week, the Chargers started the second half, right? They were dominating that game.
Yep.
They started the second half with missed field goal, terrible fumble, and blocked kick, right? Blocked punt. Like that, the Chargers tried to give the game away last weekend. And then, you know, the last 5 minutes just playing awful defense and allowing Lamar Jackson to hit a running back over the middle of the field for a 60-yard completion. Just bad defense. And I just don't think the Patriots, they don't play that way, right? If you give the Patriots an opening, they'll take it. So and another thing to consider here too, Clay, when Tom Brady, when he's had a start since 2003, when he's getting less than 40% of the gambling tickets, he's 8-0-2 against the spread and covering by at least 9 points. So this is another instance where everyone's on the Chargers. I will probably bet the Patriots just because I think the Patriots, they had the 2 weeks off. The Chargers on their third straight big road game, went to Denver, went to Baltimore, now back to New England. And I just kind of go with this. Until proven otherwise, I go with the Patriots. Would I be surprised if the Chargers won? I think, of course not. I think that, like you said, they're more talented than New England, but New England wins these games all the time. So I'm going New England here, minus the 4.
What about in the NFC? We're talking to Jeff Schwartz, 8-year NFL offensive lineman. His brother Mitch is on the offensive line starting right tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs as they get ready for their game against the Colts. Do you buy into – so you're from L.A. You've been to games in the Coliseum before. Do you think there will be more Cowboy fans than Ram fans in their game in their playoff game out in L.A.?
Yes. I've been in Coliseum too with USC football back in Arizona. That place is 93,000 strong. Now it's now to 78,000 because they're doing the construction at that press box in there. You said the Cowboys have their training camp 2 hours away up in Oxnard. I think people forget that they do that every year, and that's the most heavily attended training camp thing out there. And all those fans, they don't come from Dallas. They come from Los Angeles to go up and watch the Cowboys play. I think you're going to get a good 45,000 Cowboys fans there. I know people in Dallas that start booking their plane. Who doesn't want to go to L.A. this time of year, man? It's fabulous. So I think we're going to get 45,000 Cowboys fans. It's going to feel like a neutral site game. Would be really interesting to see, too. Is it's embarrassing the Chargers are going to do this, is use a silent count at home. So embarrassing. I do wonder if the Rams will have to resort to that, especially if they get down a little early and the Cowboys fans get fired up. I think this game is going to be close. I think the Cowboys play too good of a defense for this game to get away from them. They played much worse offensively on the road, which is a concern, and the matchup with Aaron Donald and whoever plays left guard for the Cowboys is a weakness for the Cowboys. Their left guard is the worst player on that offensive line. So there are some things that's worried about the Cowboys, but I think they cover the 7.5, whatever the number is at now. I could see a game. I think both teams scored in the mid-20s somewhere, which keeps this game close.
I'm with you there. I think the Cowboys do keep it close. And then in the final game, I'm curious on this angle for you. Like the Eagles are coming out saying, oh, we're going to get, you know, revenge. Like we felt like they ran up the score on us. Meanwhile, the other motivation angle, you've got the championship trophy wheeled in with $200,000 in cash by Sean Payton. What's the play here in Saints-Eagles? And do you remember any ridiculous motivational tactics that were anywhere near as similar as that worked well during your football career, either college or pro?
It was $225,000 in $1 bills, by the way.
Which is really funny. Well, you can go straight to Bourbon Street and spend those at the Penthouse Penthouse Forum and all those places.
I'm sure the guys went ahead and did that.
Rick's Cabaret.
The thing about the motivation is, if you remember that game, the Eagles went for it on like fourth and short like twice in their own territory. Like they did it. They allowed the Saints to score like two late touchdowns because they went for it. For no reason, they got 31-7 in the fourth quarter. It's fourth and eight, and you're at the 20. You know, you have 80 yards to go, and you're going for it. I mean, that's their fault. I don't believe quite in running up the score type of thing, especially in the NFL. I would say the Saints are more motivated. I mean, that's pretty badass motivation right there. You wheel the trophy and the money, and you say, "Here, guys, three games to do this. Two of them were this game. One bet. I like the Saints over 29 points." They've averaged 37 points at home this year, which is pretty crazy.
Where is Jeff going? Where are you going? You sound like you're being attacked. Are you safe?
What happened?
We just lost your voice.
Oh, I'm here. You got my back?
Yeah, you're back. You're back. I thought maybe you're being assaulted early this morning. Somebody's kidnapping you.
No, well, my kids probably. No, they're my daughter screaming in the background. So the Saints have scored 37 points at home on average in the seven games Breeze has started this year. I think we forget that because they had that three-game stretch this year where they were on the road and didn't score a lot of points. I think over 29 points is my favorite bet in this game. It feels like this game ends up going one of two ways. Either the Eagles win this game or the Saints blow them out. I just don't see kind of a close Saints win. I can't see it. I would lean, and this is a terrible probably play, but I'd lean taking the Saints minus the eight, but I like the Saints over 29 points. I think they score a lot of points in this game, especially with the Eagles secondary really banged up. Eagles tried to double last time. Kamara and Thomas didn't matter. The Saints found ways to make plays. Ted Ginn Jr. is back this week. Huge deal for the Saints.
As we go into the divisional round of the playoffs, if you had to make your Super Bowl prediction right now, which two teams would you take?
The same as I've been saying, Saints and Patriots. I mean, until proven otherwise, I'm going with New England. You know, if they beat the Chargers this weekend, then they get, you know, Chiefs or Colts. Colts have historically not played well against the Patriots in the playoffs, especially with Andrew Luck at the helm. Or the Chiefs, and then you've already beaten them, and you have Tom Brady against Pat Mahomes. So I think New England still, until proven otherwise. And the Saints, to me, I mean, they're at home. They're 5-0 at home in the playoffs with Drew Brees. I just think that the dome is too much to handle, and they're healthy on the offensive line, especially now with this 2 weeks off. So until proven otherwise, I bet those two teams to make the Super Bowl, and I'm going to ride with that right now.
Outstanding stuff. I know I said last question for you, but Tim Tebow is now engaged to a 23-year-old former Miss Universe. Your thoughts when you hear that Tebow at 31 or 32, I think she's 23, like I said, and she's former Miss Universe. Is this top DNA?
Yes. I mean, good for him. But how about the ring is like 7.5 carats? That's a little, come on, Tim Tebow. That's a little much there. You don't have to go that big there. But the question is like, is he going to do a tell-all interview after like the wedding night? Like, I'm wondering how that's going to work. It's like someone's going to try to buy the rights to his wedding night story, right?
Still a virgin, Tim Tebow. Good stuff as always.
Do you think he is still?
What's that?
Do you think he really is still?
I should have to answer that question now. I don't know.
No.
I think he still is, yeah. That's Jeff Shorts. Go follow him on Twitter at Jeff Shorts, his brother. Well, Mitchell will be playing for the Chiefs. You can watch him, follow him on Twitter during the games.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
I had a boa constrictor stuck to my face.
Sam, you have a what?
This is Animal Thunderdome.
Nick Wapner. I don't know if you guys heard about this guy, Nick Wapner, and there's audio to go with this, and I haven't even listened to the audio myself, which makes me think we should play it maybe at the top of hour three here as we continue to break down the NFL divisional playoff games. Nick Wapner was out in a typical day of surfing in Southern California. He's a Cal Poly sophomore communications major. At about 10 a.m., after an hour in the ocean, Wapner said things went a little bit bad. It all happened quickly, but I turned and I saw that a 15-foot great white shark had one of my legs in its mouth. The shark bit down on the lower part of his legs, around his ankles, and then up to his thighs. In a skirmish that he estimates lasted a few seconds, though his mind was racing, and it's hard to say exactly, Wapner kicked the shark hard in the head and wrangled himself free. The experienced surfer said he didn't feel any pain initially as adrenaline shot through his body. After releasing him, the shark turned in a flash, leaving Wapner with a lasting haunting image of its entire torso, giant head, massive jaws, and beady eyes as it pivoted away. The thing was huge, Wapner said. He estimated it to be 15 feet with an 18-inch dorsal fin. Wapner believes the shark was biting out of curiosity, realized the object in his mouth wasn't the taste it was looking for. He then swam into shore, removed his wetsuit, and checked all over his legs, where he had obviously a lot of wounds. He then made a 5-minute walk on his own with a friend to the parking lot. And then they both have lifeguard training, and they made sure that he didn't have any major arteries that had been severed. Despite the fact that he had a lot of different cuts, they drove him to the San Luis Obispo Hospital, where he received 50 stitches before being discharged. And he has not been able to return back to school yet. Does say that he grew up in Palos Verdes, and he plans on continuing to surf, since he has been surfing at LA area beaches for his entire life. This is a wild story. So a 15-foot great white shark bites him. He then walks himself to the car, and it appears that that he is fine and he's not going to stop surfing. If you got bitten by a shark, this is my question for you, Danny G. Would you ever go in the ocean again?
That's a very easy answer. Hell no.
Right? If I ever got bitten by a shark, there is no way I ever get in the water again. Maybe in the water like up to your knees or something like that. But there's no way I ever go in deep enough where a shark could ever bite me again. He says it's such a low probability of happening, he's not worried about it. But once one time you've been bitten by a shark, it's like that guy. Remember that amazing guy we had on the Animal Thunderdome who got bitten by a rattlesnake, attacked by a bear, and bitten by a shark all in like in the same year. Do you remember that story?
Yes.
I mean, that's one of the most improbable things ever. All the guy needs to do is get struck by lightning. But to me, that's a different level of crazy to go back into the water after you've already been bitten.
Yeah, you have to really love and have a passion for surfing to want to get back in there and do it again.
Yeah, and I would just be so afraid already as a surfer of the potential to be attacked. But if I got ever bitten by a 15-foot great white shark, no, that's the shark's home. I'm never going back in the water again.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Guess who's back?
It's time.
A.K.A. Mr. Make It Rain on M.O.
For Clay Travis to make us rich.
I'm rich!
Including the legendary, famous, well-known talk of the town most celebrated.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Blood. Bank. Guaranteed.
All right, I'm going to go in order for you guys. Remember, two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. I think this is the best weekend of NFL games there is all year long. In theory, the eight best teams. Colts go on the road against the Chiefs. There may be some snow. Chiefs trying to get their first home playoff win since 1993. Colts trying to establish that Andrew Luck is 1,000,000,000% back better. Two big-time passing touchdown quarterbacks in Andrew Luck and Patrick Mahomes going head-to-head. I like the Colts to cover the 5.5 and maybe to win this one outright. I also like the under, even though everybody's saying a lot of points are going to be scored in this one. I think Marlon Mack and the Colts may try to take the air out of this game, much like they did against the Texans. I think the Colts' defense is underrated. I love the Colts here, plus 5.5 against the Chiefs. I actually think the Colts may well win this one outright. In the other game, Saturday night, be out in Los Angeles. How big will the crowd be for the Dallas Cowboys? This line hanging right around a touchdown all week. I like the Cowboys to cover. I like the Cowboys to cover against the Rams. Also wouldn't shock me if the Cowboys won this game outright. The more you look at it, the Ram defense down the stretch has been very wobbly. Weren't very good against the Eagles, weren't very good against the Lions, certainly were not very good against the Chicago Bears. I'm not buying that they suddenly got healthy against the 49ers and the Cardinals. I think the Cowboys covered the 7, may win this one outright. So on Saturday, I'm on both the underdogs, Colts and Cowboys. On Sunday, my favorite pick of the week, I think the Chargers beat the Patriots outright. The Chargers are better than the Patriots on the offensive, defensive sides of the ball. Maybe the Patriots are better on special teams, but I think the Chargers win this one outright. Right now you can get them +4, +4.5, so go ahead and take them there, the Chargers. And finally, I think the Saints blow out the Eagles again. I think the Saints win this game by double figures, so the one home favorite that I love this weekend is the New Orleans Saints. My four picks, if you want to put them all in a parlay together, which is what I like to do sometimes too, have a little fun. I've got the Colts, I've got the Cowboys, I've got the Chargers, and I have got the Saints. Those are my three picks headed into the weekend. We'll see how I do on Monday when we will have a great show lined up for you.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.